Oh, Chris, it's back. The Josh and Chris podcast, but without Matt,
Without
because Matt's
Matt.
a daddy now.
Yeah, so we unplannedly took the whole month of February off.
Accidentally.
Yeah, so most pressingly, Matt, our dear co-founder, is now a father. Baby is
Yes,
doing
he's
great.
got a little baby.
Wife is doing great. Baby's cute as shit.
Oh man, I was gonna tell Matt in a text, but I'm gonna say it in the podcast. Very happy the baby looks like Caitlin.
Aren't we all?
We are very happy that
And then
looks
we
like little
had
Caitlin.
the little thing of New Orleans Mardi Gras. We had
Oh yeah.
work. We had to deal with sick and injured parents and animals.
Jeez, so much.
It was a rough month, but we're back. We are committed. And you know what, Josh? Happy Mario Day.
Happy Mario Day indeed. I didn't know it was Mario Day.
March the 10th.
Oh, March the 10th.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, kind of loosey-goosey today because, well, I don't remember what we talked about the last show a month ago, but
I feel like we talked about WandaVision a lot.
well, okay, so I guess let's jump into it. Let's give the last episode aired about a week ago, so
Yeah, there's.
let's give it like 10 seconds. We're gonna talk about WandaVision for a bit.
I like
So
10 seconds. Everyone, 10 seconds.
10
Here we
seconds.
go. I haven't watched WandaVision.
Although for real, if you're interested, you should have seen it by now. I think the latest my friend, someone in my friend group saw it was on Sunday morning.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I think our 10 seconds are up.
It's up. So, WandaVision.
So,
What do you think?
I was so here's the thing, Chris.
Yes.
Kate said, Kate, when we finished watching WandaVision, Kate looked at me and she said, "I've never seen you geek out so much over a show as much as you've geeked out over this show." And she is right. I lost my existence at WandaVision. I loved it. I loved every single thing about it. I think it was a beautiful executed show, from the frame rates changing, from the sets changing, from the coloring, from the acting, from throwing out some really amazing philosophy at the end with the ship of Theseus. I can't tell you how excited I am that Vision had the conversation with White Vision in regards to the ship of Theseus. I think that's amazing, and it sets up so much about what has happened with the timeline in the multiverse. Like, do we still exist in the same universe after all the things that have happened? Is it still the same Marvel universe? Is Vision still the same Vision? And oh my God, White Vision is going to become regular Vision. I think he's going to go on a spirit journey, and he's going to find his Vision self. But yeah, that's a lot. There's a lot there. But I really feel like they are establishing something really cool with the Infinity Stones, and maybe the Infinity Stones are now kind of embodying the characters in the universe.
Well, indirectly, you have touched on a major point of this show, and that is the theory culture that has really sprung up around it.
Yes.
Theory culture has always been a thing, but I feel like with this show that was so very vague in its opening episodes that it kind of got a little out of control by the end. I mean,
I loved
Hell, on
that there
this
were
show,
so many theories.
you even threw out Mojo.
I know, I love that.
And
That's,
then
I'm happy. I'm happy.
the show ends, and I guess it's like a haze lifts off, and you're like, I said Mojo? What the fuck was I thinking?
You agreed to it.
I did.
I
Well,
loved it.
I said it was a possibility. The real answer about what WandaVision was about was just grief, and there was
grief.
There's no Mephisto. Excuse me. No, there isn't. No, there isn't.
Yeah, there is.
There's no Mephisto.
Yeah.
There's no Mojo. There's no mutants. It was a lot of build up, and nothing happened. And I know people were disappointed because theory culture was like, "Oh, did you see Senior Scratchy? That could be Nicholas Scratch, the son of the devil." And it wasn't.
Yeah,
it was just
true.
it's just a fucking rabbit.
Well. That's true. The theory culture exploded, especially on Inverse, where they would do, at the end of each episode, they would talk about all the different theories and how each and every single one falls into play. I think one of the more amazing things about this is that, like, something about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the characters earning their names. I like that a lot. That makes me very excited about all the future shows that are happening. And she earned the Scarlet Witch. That's who she is now. She wasn't the Scarlet Witch before this moment. This made her into the Scarlet Witch. Is this a good thing? I guess
no.
We'll find out.
I'm going to say...
The Darkhold?
I am straight up telling you, no. It's bad.
No, not a good thing. Not a good thing at all.
yeah, we saw that, you know, the Scarlet Witch is a title as opposed to just a name, kind of like the Sorcerer Supreme,
yes.
And Wanda has claimed it. And the very end of the series is her in a cabin reading the Darkhold and learning, I assume, dark magic.
Yeah.
An underrated thing, and I want to talk about this before we forget. Catherine Hahn as Agatha. Because when we last spoke, we were like, I don't know, I think my Agatha theory's torpedoed. And then the very next episode, she sang a fucking song about how she was the villain the whole time.
That was the greatest.
That song is a bop, as the kids would say.
It is great. I love it when she's like, oh, and I killed the dog, too.
Yeah, that's fucked up. But she was tremendous, her reveal as being Agatha Harkness, and the fact that Agatha is not dead leaves her open for other possibilities in the future.
Which I'm very excited about, because I'm really hoping they set her up as being like an ally to Doctor Strange and trying to... I kind of feel like Scarlet Witch is going to be the villain in the Doctor Strange movie. I just feel like they're setting us up.
Well,
like, she wants those kids. She knows that, you know, I feel like she's gonna figure out that Vision's gonna come back, but she wants those kids.
Well, I also was fairly convinced that Doctor Strange had to show up in that final episode. And I was wrong about that.
Yeah. I gotta say, Monica Rambeau is a great reveal. I was very happy on how she got her powers. I thought that was really rad.
It was cool.
It was really cool. And then the Skrulls showing up at the end, like, kind of like, oh, you know, this and this. And it's like, oh, they're setting up a lot of bad things.
Yeah. One of the things that I wasn't super jazzed about, there's a couple of things, because I, at the end of the day, I liked the show, but I didn't love it. And I think I'm going to have to go back and kind of rewatch and see what I can kind of pick out of it. One of the disappointments, I think, and it's only a disappointment because of what the knowledge we have at the moment, is fake Pietro.
I liked fake Pietro.
Don't get it twisted. Evan Peters is great. His performance was wonderful, and I think he was good. But ultimately, he kind of came to nothing.
Well,
because he's Ralph Boner.
Let's go with the really wacky theory.
That hasn't stopped us yet.
He is the person that Agent Wu was sent to investigate.
That's a theory I've heard a lot
There's
of.
A
yeah.
Whole, I like it because it might be that, like, he might be the real Pietro. We don't know. We'll find out. Who knows? He might be a Skrull. Who knows? We don't know what he is, but he's not going to leave. There's no way they're going to get rid of him. He is great, and he's got a great on-screen presence, and there were moments where I thought he was Mephisto.
Everyone else.
Yeah, I was like, he is definitely Mephisto. This is the setup. This is how you get him in there.
Yeah.
But he wasn't.
No.
Ralph Boner.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I assume this will be dealt with when Doctor Strange comes back.
Oh yeah. It makes me very excited for the Doctor Strange movie.
I mean, I was already pretty psyched for it. So, another thing that I was not super wowed by was the head of S.W.O.R.D., Hayward.
Oh, yeah, he's a bad man.
He's a bad man, but he kind of gets beaten off screen, and that's kind of the end of him.
Yeah,
and he doesn't really have a motivation besides being an asshole.
I don't think so. I feel like it. I said in a text a few times, "Was like this is how we get Sentinels."
I mean,
the vision. How we get Nimrod and how we get Sentinels might not be the truth, but you know, we don't know. This makes me excited about Winter Soldier. This makes me excited about Moon Knight. I feel like if they pulled off WandaVision, I think they're gonna pull off Moon Knight.
Yeah. So this week is gonna be an entire behind the scenes of WandaVision, and next week is going to be the first episode of Winter Soldier and Falcon.
And much excitement on that.
Yes.
I am so excited for the buddy cop action adventure. Against Baron Zemo.
I think Disney's very clever in this regard, and you know, they're Disney. They're clever at a lot of things. But I think that one of the things that's very clever on their part is that they've trained their audience to pay attention to Friday releases of shows, and they take a week off,
like,
and then
I'm
sorry?
It's like old school fun, like going back to what, like, you know, TGI Friday.
Yeah, and now they're just training this new audience to be like, hey guys, if you love WandaVision, you'll love Falcon and Winter Soldier same time.
Yeah. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yeah. The only other minor thing that I wasn't happy with, Darcy Lewis just left. She peaced out of the. Pieced out of the show at a certain point.
Yeah, she's like, but I feel like we're not gonna. This isn't the last of Wu and Darcy.
I hope not. I think Wu was really great in this show. I think Darcy was really fun.
Both of them were great. I feel like it was a really great showcase for a lot of the talent.
Yes, I think the supporting cast is going to do really well.
Yeah.
So
I'm more than happy with what happened.
So I guess give the show a letter grade.
I would give it a I'm gonna give it a 91, so an A-.
Okay.
That's what I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give it an A-.
I am going to give it a solid B, lingering on B+. I think the show did a lot of things really well. I think it's going to be a great rewatchability, which may change its grade. But, you know, yeah. I think ultimately I liked it, just not loved it.
Yeah, I hear you. I loved it. I enjoyed every single bit of it, and like I said, it's setting up. Oh my god, in Hawkeye, it's setting up. So here's the thing. I don't know if anyone has picked up on it, but I have two favorite characters in the Marvel universe. Uh-huh. One of them's Moon Knight, and the other one's Hawkeye. And I just feel like this show being executed so well, it just gives me hope in the next two big shows that I'm very excited about.
Okay.
Press.
I know.
It's exciting. You know what else was really cool that happened while we were on break?
What?
That Feudal Japan Pokemon game that's coming out. That's just Breath of the Wild reskinned. But it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does. They had a Pokemon Direct. Josh, I'm getting feedback from you.
I'm getting echo.
Well, I'm getting a distracting echo.
No, not a distracting echo.
Yeah.
All right. Is it still?
Hold on. Let's try this again. So they had a big Pokemon Direct. Yeah, that's perfect. A big Pokemon Direct. So they've announced that I think Gen 4 is coming to the Switch.
Yeah.
And then this weird Breath of the Wild Pokemon.
Yeah. It's really cool, actually. Is it going to make me get a Switch? No.
Josh.
But...
Josh, buy that Switch.
Oh, man. Yeah, I probably should. I probably should.
You definitely should. I'm excited. I think the Pokemon formula is pretty stale, honestly. And they're lucky. They're lucky that it's extremely nostalgic to basically every generation since 1997.
And that they have a crazy fan base.
Yes. So I think any chance to kind of, you know, renovate or update the formula, I kind of welcome.
Yeah, I agree with that. It'll be a fun little venture to see if it works.
Yes.
If it doesn't, then yeah, you know, they just reskinned. Pretty much all they did was reskinned Breath of the Wild. So it's not like they used a lot of resources.
No. I bet it took them an afternoon. That's why they're kind of waiting on it. To make it seem like they did more work.
I know, right?
It
took them an afternoon to make this game. They're like, it's done.
Let's just sit on it for a bit. March 10th.
We'll be good. Oh, man. That's the only news I can really think of. The Bethesda deal is finalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
And I feel okay with it.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, I feel like at the end of the day, we're probably going to see a limited release of Elder Scrolls 6. There's no way they're not putting that on the PlayStation 5.
Uh-huh.
But that's definitely going to get released first on the Xbox. You know what I mean? And then like 6 or 8 months later, it'll be on the 5. But it does kind of suck because Deathloop looks so good. So good. And it's going to suck if that's the last Bethesda game. For the PlayStation.
Did we have a chance to discuss Deathloop last time?
No, we didn't, because we didn't get to see that amazing video with the amazing theme song.
Yeah, so Deathloop was already pretty high on my interest rate, but once they put on a Bond-esque theme song, that kind of pushed it over the top.
Everything about Deathloop is over the top in the best way possible, from the art style to the gameplay to the music. Oh my god. They are just killing it. This makes me very angry about this Bethesda deal.
Yeah,
I'm slightly angry.
I have slight concerns about Deathloop, but it looks too good to be true. Is my opinion.
Yeah, that too. But you know what? I guess we'll find out. We have to wait and we have to find out. That's the only thing.
We will find out. You'll find out first if you get that PS5 before I do.
Yeah, I know. Waiting on that. Waiting. It's going to happen. Yeah. Got to wait for Matt to deliver.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
He'll deliver.
He'll deliver. But, you know. I don't know. But that's the deal. I think it's going to be... I just don't see them not releasing, like, Doom... Fallout or Elder Scrolls on, like, the PlayStation. I think the market for those games are too big. But then for, like, Prey or, like, another, another type of, like, newer game, I don't know about Starfield. I really don't know what's going on with that. But I also feel like it's taking too long to get these games developed. And that's what really concerns me about this. It's like, we haven't heard anything since that, 2018 E3?
Yeah.
That we just saw a splash? Like, there's nothing coming out about what's going on with these games. And, you know, complete misgeneration without an Elder Scrolls is, I don't know, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. The problem with making one of the greatest games of all time, according to the press, is you got to follow it up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Go on.
You know, Skyrim is great. Skyrim is a very good game. Matt will say otherwise, but I don't know. I feel like I liked Skyrim, but I liked Oblivion more.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I think Oblivion had better stories in it.
Yeah, and probably.
I think the Dark Brotherhood storyline in Oblivion was so good that I don't even remember anything that else happened in Oblivion. The Oblivion gates, yeah, whatever, sure, okay. But the Dark Brotherhood storyline is so good, it's like, that could have just been the game.
I was looking through the release schedule for the year. What are you thinking about Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade?
I'm excited.
So this is a PS5 version of Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1, but with Yuffie and someone else's chapter kind of thrown in.
Yeah, Yuffie. I like everything. Throw Yuffie at me, please. Like, she is a fun character, and I think they can make her into a really good character in this. And I think she can be a more interesting character in this remake. Honestly, it's one of these things. It's like, is this how they're gonna pull off the two secret characters?
Maybe.
And I feel like this is how they're gonna pull off the secret characters. Is that it's a complete side story that's happening in the world. And I like it. Because if we see, like, when the Final Fantasy VII 2 remake comes out, and then there's the Final Fantasy VII 2 Intergrade, whatever, and it has Vincent as the storyline, I'm like, called it.
I don't quite know how to handle their release schedule. I think it's interesting that it's the game plus the DLC, as opposed to just the DLC by itself. They did specify in the trailer that it was if you had the PS4 version, it was a free upgrade for it.
Right, and then your save files move over. So
right, so it's kind of interesting how they're planning this out.
But I get really excited about what Square is doing, and it's really making me feel like Square is moving closer and closer to Sony.
Yeah, possibly.
I feel like something's gonna break, and it's gonna be in Sony's favor when it comes to Square. But that Final Fantasy 16 pretty much is almost at our doorsteps.
Almost.
I think Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 8 is closer.
Resident Evil 8 is the 7th of May, yes.
Yeah, that is around the corner. Yeah, but sure that Final Fantasy 16 is... Yeah, I get a good feeling about the game. I really do. The more I see about it, and the more I read about, like... just like the little things about it, I feel really good about what they might pull off with this game.
And I think it might be that moment that PlayStation 1 had with Final Fantasy VII.
You're probably correct. I think we'll have to, you know, kind of wait and see how it shakes out.
Yeah, because it's going to be a game that's going to really showcase the system.
Yeah, use the full power.
Because that's what Square likes to do. Square likes to push things. It just makes me think that, like, I kind of want to replay Final Fantasy 13, but, like...
But why?
I'm not getting out my Xbox 360 to replay. I don't know. Time?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, there's plenty of time.
Yeah, plenty of time, but, like, time for that game to actually, like, I don't know. I don't know what happened when it first came out. Like, I don't remember when it first came out. What year was it when Final Fantasy 13 first came out?
That's a great question. Give me a moment, and I will find out. Final Fantasy
2010?
13, released in Japan December 2009, and international March 2010.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know what was happening 10, 11 years ago.
Well, let's... You keep talking about your thoughts on Final Fantasy 13, and I will look it up.
What I remember the most, I didn't really care for the character in Final Fantasy 13, but I kind of dug the battle system.
Yes, I felt the same way, because I felt like they threw a lot of gobbledygook at us, like the Lassie and the Falcy, and it didn't quite work for me. Huh. That's a rhyme thing.
You were right. It was a lot of gobbledygook. That was a lot of gobbledygook.
So Josh.
Josh,
I'm going to lay out some games for you, and you tell me what spikes your interest. So you have your MLB The Show, baseball, pretty popular. Okay. You got your Final Fantasy 13, and Yakuza 3.
Okay. Ooh.
You have Mega Man 10. Okay. Then a couple of days later, you have Heart Gold and Soul Silver. Then a couple of days later, you've got God of War 3.
Okay, that might be it.
And Metro 2033. and then a week later, you've got Just Cause 2.
Okay.
And then a week after that, you know... that's kind of it, but God of War 3 is a big one.
God of War 3 was a big one. That was a... Yeah.
Wow, what an odd year that year was.
Holy shit, I was working on Green Lantern during this time.
Yeah.
So that's probably what happened.
That also makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. And I was getting excited about... fuck. I think Mass Effect 2 already came out. When did Mass Effect 2 come out?
Mass Effect 2?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. Mass Effect 2 came out in January of 2010.
That's it right there. that's exactly it right there. So it was Mass Effect 2 and it was God of War that took up that year. Final Fantasy 13 did not have a chance.
Right. Yeah.
Not in my book. poor Final Fantasy 13.
Well, now's your chance to kind of rectify that. Now you can do 13, 13-2, and 13-3.
No, I'm going to pass.
All right.
It's too much work.
I liked 13-2 for what I played of it. But it's a lot. it's a lot.
It's a lot.
So I think that's about it that we have for today.
Well, not too bad. You wanna throw a Quora out there?
I guess I will. You give me a little vamp music while I figure it out.
Little vamp music, what's a little vamp song about? About people sucking blood. Vamp music, there's a vampire behind you, watch out. Oh, it's not a vampire at all. It's just a person who's drinking cranberry juice. A little vamp music, living the vamp dream, yeah.
That's tremendous. That was intensely distracting, but very good.
Well, thank you. I just pretty much, I had no idea what was happening. I just let it take control. I let the music take control. Man, that Super Mario World is so good.
What Super Mario World?
The Super Mario World for Super Nintendo.
Oh yeah. I was like,
yeah, it's so good.
I was confused with what new Mario you were talking about.
Oh no, I'm just pretty much bringing up Mario World. I'm big fan of Super Mario World. I have two tattoos based off of Super Mario World characters.
Oh,
so big fan of Super Mario World.
What a tough guy.
I know, right? I got Reznor, and I got one of the little dinosaur ghosts. So good.
Oh no, I've looked up too much serious things, so I don't get dumb questions.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Let's do a serious question.
No. No, thank you.
Are they asking you how to get out of the self-sabotaging relationship?
No, it's like, was General Patton's remains ever brought back to the U.S.?
Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe.
maybe. Perhaps.
Yeah, what?
Man, you were going through, like, deep information hole there, huh?
Well, now I picked movies, but it's like, what are some movies that have the saddest twist ending?
Oh man, no. Okay, let's. Oh my god, I don't know if we can do it. I don't know if we can do Legend of Korra.
It's looking rough. Let me try. Let me try one more thing.
One more. Let's go one more time.
Come on, Korra. Wheel of Korra. Turn. Give us a question for us to learn. Something. Okay, here's a good one. Here's a good one.
Let's do it.
If I were to start reading comic books, where would be a good place to start? I ran into an op-ed going on about how comic books are a whole culture separate from regular books. I want to try this culture out.
Ooh.
So, Josh, where would you think the best place to start is? Because you are generally a more casual comics reader.
Yeah, I am a casual reader, and I find I tend to like I digest comics the way I digest anime. I kind of do my research, and I want to make sure that it's worth my time. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the best time periods to get involved is when Marvel... I'm telling you, Aji's Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And Chip Zdarsky's Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
And The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yep.
Those three comics. I think if you can get in that time period when it comes to Marvel, because you got Spider-Gwen, you got a really good Daredevil run. What else is going on there? There's some really good stuff happening all over Marvel in that time period. Oh, the Vision.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff there.
That's a very strong period.
And it's a really good, strong Marvel period. I'm a big Marvel fan. But I think if you want to get, like, really deep into comics, if you want to, like,
go crazy, I would highly suggest that go just pick up Sandman and just read it. And go and just take care of, like, everything at once. Well, like, I think that would be... I think the late 80s, early 90s graphic novels is a good starting point.
Well, here's an interesting question. I guess we can springboard off of this. Sandman is now 30 years old. And it was very much of its time when it was written. Not in a negative way, in that it's not, you know, slap a jap Superman kind of stuff. Yeah, but it is deeply 80s and early 90s goth stuff.
Yes.
Do you think that a person not from that time period would have difficulty picking up Sandman? Do you think it's transcendent enough to kind of work past that?
Here's the thing. I don't know. Because Sandman is such a piece of its time, and it hits certain generation, especially like if you're an early millennial and if you're a Gen Xer, Sandman is like your comic. I do feel like it can withstand the test of time just because of the maturity of the story and the dynamicness of the panels, and just Neil Gaiman's a great writer. I don't think that can be argued. And especially when it comes to Sandman, I think he's just at his A game. And there's some beautiful panels in there that just will blow you away.
I agree.
Yeah, I think Sandman is a good. It's not like picking up like Watchmen. It's like, no, what are you doing? You can't read Watchmen now. You haven't even read any comic books whatsoever. Don't even think about reading Watchmen.
Yeah.
you should be the first thing you should read. If you want to read Watchmen, you have to dive deep into Batman. And I really think the best Batman storyline to dive deep in is Long Halloween and Hush. I think those are two really good Batman books to dive in.
I'm going to push back ever so slightly on that, because I do feel that Watchmen is self-contained enough and well-written enough that I don't know that you need to have anything beyond a passing knowledge of a Superman or Batman, the kind of cultural osmosis that sits with us.
Yeah, I see. I agree with that. I agree with that.
I think as far as my answer for this question, I think the real answer is it depends on a couple of points. Number one is what are you interested in? Because if you're interested in, like, you know, crime novels, you know, silly, fun stuff, action-packed, there's a lot of branching parts from that. I do agree with you. That period of Marvel with Howard the Duck, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, and Hawkeye was a really tremendous time for Marvel. And I think also that was when Miss Marvel debuted.
Yes. So, yes. And Spider-Gwen, the artists they had, the writers they had, everything about that time period. What was happening?
Yeah, it was incredible. But I think the most important lesson, and I see this a lot online, is if you want to read comics, you just got to grab one. You're going to do a lot of scattershotting until you find the right stuff.
Yeah, it's true. No, that is true. It's gonna take you all to actually find the comic, find the writing style, find the genre you really like. And there's so much to choose from. I think there's a little too much to choose from. But like I think when it comes to comic books, it's just like any type of literature. There's something for everyone.
I agree. I thought I had some more.
And that Matt Fraction run of Hawkeye is so good.
Matt Fraction is very good, and I think it's very interesting when you read Sex Criminals and you read the letter section about how he has struggled. He is. When he's on, he even did some really great work on the X-Men, which is how I first figured out who he was.
Yeah, he is just good. I think if you want to get into comics, Matt Fraction would be the guy.
Yeah, probably.
To really pick
it up. You gotta pick and choose.
Yeah, it really is. That's how comics and anime are so much alike. There's some gold. There's some beautiful art happening, and then there's just some. What the hell is this?
Yep, that's comics, baby.
Am I reading?
All right. All right. This is the final question. What is your favorite Marvel Comics story arc, and why?
Oh, favorite.
You are a Marvel boy, so.
I am. I really. Oh, this is tough. I love the Ellis run of Moon Knight. I think that's a great. But the arc it's picked up by other artists. I'm gonna come out and say Grant Morrison's New X-Men, Final Answer, Cassandra Nova, Zorn, Sublime. Everything about that is great. And Grant Morrison's New X-Men, Final Answer.
I think, and I thought about this recently in terms of the events. I think the best Marvel event is Secret Wars. The most recent event from Jonathan Hickman with God King Doom and his multiversal playground.
I think
that event was a ton of fun and pretty perfect from start to finish.
So plus, Doom is God. It's great.
I'm sorry, you mean God King Doom.
God King Doom.
Not to mention, you know, God King Doom being pretty great, but every tie-in was also great.
Yeah, they really knocked it. Was that around the same time as?
it was like 3 or 4 years ago.
It's like 2013. It's like 2013 to like 2016 for Marvel.
Good time.
Just killed it. It was a good time. It was a really, really good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. New. I really like that new X-Men run with Morrison. It's weird. It's X-Men-y. It's they establish so much new continuity in that series.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Weapon X isn't the letter. It's the number.
Yeah. That Grant Morrison run changed everything in a way that like the Claremont run originally changed everything.
Yes. And I still will debate this to my grave that Zorn was never Magneto. I don't care what Grant Morrison says. It doesn't matter what he says. That was Sublime. And when you give a sentient bacteria the ability of a star, what do you think it's going to do? It's going to turn into the X-Men's most feared villain. Of course it's going to pretend it's Magneto. It'll always be Sublime. Oh, Cassandra Nova. Jesus.
Yeah. Walking. I really hate Cassandra Nova.
Man.
She's just very upsetting.
She really is.
Every time she shows up in a book nowadays and I have to see her weird, ugly face, it just really creeps me the fuck out.
I also feel like the one really thing I liked about that X-Men run was the Cuckoos were in it. They were great. White Queen, Emma.
I want you to know
Emma Frost.
I want you to know that the Cuckoos in the most recent series are dating Cable and Quentin Quire.
Nice.
So. It's kind of adorable. It works out on a lot of levels.
Yeah, no, like, Emma Frost was great. I feel like Morrison understood I think Morrison understood how to write White Queen, and I think he really understood how to write the X-Men on the whole. The way that, like, Joss Whedon understood how to write Cyclops, Morrison understood how to write Emma Frost.
It's true.
So. Oh, all right. Yeah.
All right, well, we are done for the week. We will probably be back next week, maybe with Matt. It's hard to say. A baby kind of takes up your entire life.
It really does. It changes everything about your existence. But on that note, everyone have a good night.
Yeah, good night. We will see you later. Bye.
Bye.